Thou hast made known to me the path of life. Thou wilt fill me with delight in thy presence. Act 2:28. Most people act unconsciously. That is, they act without the true element of thought. The action of thought is dynamic, and many who have developed concentration find themselves in greater difficulties than before. The reason is that although people may acquire the art of concentration, they still do not understand the action of thought, nor do they think with understanding, so they fear their own thoughts. So when they fear their own thoughts, they create in themselves just what they fear. Fear becomes the active blazing fire that produces a lot of conditions that would otherwise be removed by understanding. And it is that we act unconsciously because we are caught up in the things external to ourselves. We're caught up in our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs, and being caught up in these, then we think and act unconsciously. We say things that we believe to be true when they are not true at all. We fill our minds with envies and jealousies because we're caught up in our beliefs. We're caught up in the self, and the self is the cause of all these things. We must recognize what the self is. The self is a bundle of wants, a bundle of hates, a bundle of joys, a bundle of desires, a bundle of emotions. The self is caught up in craving. Consequently, it goes away from reality. If you crave for anything, even for spiritual knowledge or crave for material things, the craving is the same thing because it is craving. It takes you away from being because being is now. The ever-present life is the living life that is eternal and had no beginning and will have no ending. The proof of this is the consciousness that is now working and expressing itself through the physical. And if that consciousness does not understand itself, then it will react to the conditions external to itself and be caught up in its reaction. These thought-feeling reactions will cause devastation in the individual. But immediately the individual becomes aware of these things and what they are, his beliefs. If he knows that his belief is just a belief, then he will know how the belief has come about. A fellow came into the office the other day and he told me that he was a Catholic once. And now, of course, he is a Jehovah's Witness. And I said, now, you mean to say that you left the Catholic religion to become a Jehovah's Witness? He said, yes. I said, now you had one belief before, and you now have another belief. You don't know what the truth is because you have one belief and now you have another belief. Shortly you'll soon have another belief. So where are you? You're caught up in your belief. If you know what your belief is and how it comes about, then it will not affect you. But if you're all caught up in your belief, you're sure to have rows with one another, because you'll only quarrel over your belief. You won't quarrel over the truth. So we see then that thought itself is a great power. But even as people practice concentration and are able to concentrate their thought, but if they don't understand how thought comes about, and they don't understand themselves, then they will create difficulties in themselves. When we understand the action of thought, we become aware. So we put upon the power of thought a greater value in regard to the kind of thoughts we think. If we are ignorant of the law of thought, we place little or no value upon our thought. And when affected by the result of their action, we naturally rebel against the conditions, and in all probability place the cause at every other source except the right one, that is, ourselves. Only through true discernment of the cause does the effect disappear. If you can discern your own thought, your emotions, your thought-feeling reactions, and the cause of them, they will no longer trouble you, because they will just dissolve away. But if you're caught up in your thought-feelings and your reactions, then you create a disturbance in the mind. The mind is caught up in these things, and naturally, you either rebel against them or try to deny them. But rebelling or denying them does not affect the cure. The cure lies in becoming aware of your own thought, feelings, and reactions and the cause behind them. What is it that makes you react in such a way? What is it that gives you these thought feelings? Life itself is perfect in itself. Life itself and your realization of life as the reality, but you can't realize this reality until such time you discern everything that's relative that is preventing this reality from manifesting in your life. That time comes when you realize this life as the totality of all things and where there is no reaction. Then you become free. Free here just as well as you'll be free after you leave the physical body, because it's the same consciousness that's working in the deeper stratas of the substance of the universe as it is working now through your physical consciousness. There is no other source of power, because it's the infinite expressing himself, the infinite life. Life alone has consciousness. God being infinite in nature, there can be nothing outside him. If there was anything outside him, you or I existed outside him, he could not be infinite. And if he did not exist in me and you, he could not be infinite either, because there would be somewhere where he was not, and that would defy infinity. Rebelling against these effects or denying them, we only increase their intensity without gaining any understanding or relief. The greatest battle today is individual against individual, comparing, condemning, denying, accusing, jealousy, envies, hatreds. All this is a battle within the individual. Yet, in every group, every individual, there is a conception of reality, an idea of reality, which they call God. But this idea of reality is not God, because God is neither an idea or a conception or a belief. God is the living expression now in me and you. I only know God because I'm alive and living. I only know God in you because you are also alive and living. A belief doesn't interest me in the slightest, because everybody's quarreling over their beliefs. The Hindus, the Mohammedans, the Christians, and all the rest of them are having a fight over the belief. Yet it's the same God is manifesting in each and every one of us. We've passed by the real thing, and we're caught up in our beliefs. You believe something a person tells you. You're caught up in your own belief. Don't you see what a fool you are? Immediately you realize what you're doing, then you will no longer be caught up in what anybody tells you. What their belief may be is not for you. That's a belief. If you cannot think for yourselves, then you will never know the truth. So you see what happens. They have a conception of this reality they call God, and all their energies, their prayers directed towards this reality, their God, is dissipated. It is hypocritical and of little or no value. So if you pray to a God outside yourselves, then you are praying to an illusion. Anything that ever happened to you in your life, if you believed in any outside agency, is of no value to you whatsoever. Because the only living power is centered in yourselves. Look at the world today. Instead of individuals helping each other, they become barriers to each other. Because most people do not approach reality with affection, but only as a means of getting something for themselves. The principle of love, your neighbor as yourself, does not enter in. Only the self must be satisfied. This is the error that causes all strife and misery in the world. We worship Christ as an idol, but in his footsteps we never trod. So we do not approach this reality with affection. We approach him with rivalry. We try to corner the infinite for our own good, irrespective of the other individual, not knowing that the other individual is just as much infinity as you are. Only when we recognize these words, love your neighbor as yourself, can you only apply the law that enables you and everyone to live successfully. If you look into your minds, you will see that you are not approaching reality with affection, but with want. You would like to corner everything for yourself. And this is the teaching that is rampant today. A teaching in which opposites exist. But with opposites there is no understanding. Most people indulge in petitionary prayers which cultivate opposites, strengthen separation and duality. So if your mind is full of opposites, health, ill health, success, failure, good and evil, God and the devil, you're caught up in the illusion of your mind and the opposites, and you never know the truth. The truth is not relative. These are relative terms. They are relative because they belong to your own mind. You created them in your mind. They are but ideas. But the truth is not an idea, or a belief, or a sensation. I am the truth. I am the life. Not until such time as you can say that with conviction, understanding all that is relative, all that is not true, can truth be of any value to you. Your answer may be according to your demand, but it will not be real. The answer to a desire is the desire itself. In this, there is no reality. When you ask out of greed, out of fear, out of want, you will have an answer according to the thought, desire. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, believe you have received and you shall have. Therefore, to indulge in prayer without self-knowledge, without understanding, will result in the negative. That's why nobody's prayers seem to be answered at all, as they come very often and say, I pray to God, but I never have an answer. I know why you never have an answer, because you're concentrated in your trouble. You're living in your mind. If you could only realize the fact that God is life, and you are life. And in divine mind there is no error. There is no reaction. Divine mind is eternal and perfect and ever-present. All exists in divine mind. There is nothing else. Everything else is an illusion. Think it out and you will see how much an illusion it is to you. The personal mind, the mortal mind, is caught up these things, mix them a belief, mix them a reality, when they are no reality at all. The outcome of self-knowledge is to become aware of our thought, feeling, and with meditative awareness, duality ceases. Meditative awareness means that you become aware of your thought feeling, that you meditate on your thought feeling to see and know what it is, and not to be caught up in it. The dual process of prayer is eliminated. The thinker and his thought must cease to be separate, and the thinker must also become aware of the whole. Then the eternal is realized. All things are possible. This was the state of the master's mind. Is it not so that most people cannot get beyond themselves? They become imprisoned, caught up in their own delusions. Thought feeling must transcend the created. All the result in order to realize that which is behind the created. That which is not created, that which is not made up. That which is created is relative. That which is not created is reality. It's the abstract that is real. That which is visible is not a reality. It's the actual reverse of what people think today. They think this is a reality. It's a chair. I say, how do you know it's a chair? Well, it's a chair, that's all. I know it's a chair. But how do you know it's a chair? Well, a chair is a thing you sit on. Yes, but how do you know it's a chair? I'll tell you how you know it's a chair. Because you've seen another chair before this time, that's why. And when you see this, you say, that's a chair. The image of the chair's in your mind, that's all. Well, I say, what is it? What is it made of? Well, you say, it's made of wood. I say, what is wood? Well, it's a tree. Well, I say, and what's a tree? Well, it says a tree is a tree. But I say, that's not the answer at all. A tree grows out of the ground, but how does it grow out of the ground? What makes it a tree? Just the same thing. As you sow a seed in the ground, so it will produce its kind. So as you sow a thought in your mind, it will also produce its kind. The tree comes into operation because of the intelligence that is behind all creation, producing exact according to the design within. There is a design within you and me, and that design is the blueprint held in the divine mind that is produced by the intelligence that is behind the seed of corn, the thought in your mind, the tree, and everything that exists. The intelligence is a flawless energy of picturing what the consciousness is aware of. When the divine consciousness is aware of anything, that is produced in the divine himself. You and I are these divine creations, complete, without a blemish. Everything in divine mind is perfect. How does our imperfections come about? By our thought, feeling, reactions. We have been given the power to create by the creative principle within. And we sow seeds and produce their kind. Through fear and ignorance, lack of understanding. Therefore, your thought, even through concentration, you may learn how to concentrate your thought. And you may be a master of concentration. But if you do not understand, your thought will destroy. It is difficult sometimes for thought feeling to wholly free itself from its own chattering, its own creations, yet only when it is so free can duality cease. Then the immeasurable is realized. This is true prayer. All that is mine is thine. All that is thine is mine. When this is understood, there is affection for all who are approaching reality with you. But what do we find with most? People approach reality, but they are in opposition to each other. How can you approach reality in opposition to each other, when reality itself is one whole? How can all religious denominations and creeds be of any value to anyone? Don't you see that a creation of man's own mind becomes a belief and is caught up in his belief? Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. And then he said that God wrote them. But when he found out that he wrote them himself, he broke them. There is only one commandment that exists as a reality. That is the commandment the Master gave to his disciples. Love ye one another as I have loved you. And as you love one another, as I have loved you, you will be known as my disciples. So when this is understood, there is an affection for all who are approaching reality with you. But what do we find with most? People approaching reality, but they are in opposition to each other. They are not trying to understand. They are merely desiring the expansion of the self in some way or another, spiritually or materially. Thus, they live in opposites, which lead to misery and strife. Misery and strife today is caused by opposites. Because people will not understand the divine truth that Jesus taught would free man from all these conditions. Philosophies have been written around reality, with the result that most people have only a philosophy, which is in the mind, But life is not a philosophy. Life is not a religion. Reality is beyond mind. Realization of reality can only be established when you have eliminated all concepts about reality from the mind. Reality is real and living. There's neither a concept nor an idea in mind. I am reality. I am life. But to say this without understanding is like a parrot chattering in its cage. And how many parrots do we have chattering in their cage, repeating the sayings of a master without even understanding? You go on repeating mantras one after another, and by doing so you think that you have eliminated your trouble. You have only quietly and soothingly hypnotized yourselves. Self-hypnotism is of no value to anyone. Understanding alone will cure you. If you look into your mind, you will see that you have been discussing reality as something outside yourselves. In nearly all literature on truth, this same stupid mistake is made. The writers discuss God as some separate being distinct from themselves. In the light of what we understand, we see how stupid it all is. God is not a relative thing. Even when we talk about God, we make him relative. But my words are relative, only relative, because I want you to seek within yourselves and find that which is real. Reality is our life, our living, the foundation of our being. And we can never be separated from it. Neither can we look upon it as something separate from ourselves. The Master said, I am the life, I and the Father are one. But this was not just an idea to him. He knew himself to be the true living expression of the Father, the Son of God. You must not be lost in philosophy in questioning that which can only be realized by yourself. When you try to find yourself in this book or in this philosophy, you will never do so. Jesus said, you search the scriptures and you think you have eternal life. You make a mistake. So indefinitely, that by reading the scriptures that you cannot find eternal life. Therefore you must not be lost in philosophy in questioning that which can only be realized by yourself. It is by your own awareness you realize life. As your real self, then all conduct will lead to right thought, feeling. Thus you will live reality in your daily conduct. As the Master says, what I see the Father do, I do likewise. Love was the secret that revealed the Father to the Son and held the Son to the Father. That was the great thing. If Jesus Christ did not love completely, he could have never held himself so strongly and powerfully to the Father's will. Thy will be done, not mine. Healing is not obtained by trying to escape from conditions, but by understanding them. Healing is not obtained through a time or space factor, but through understanding that life is one whole in which there is no time or space, being omnipresent now. Therefore, at every moment, all life is concentrated at any point in its omnipresence that you may choose to fix your consciousness upon. Now, let your consciousness be directed to any part of your being and realize that life is complete there, now, in its omnipresence, in its omnipotence, in its omniscience, in its all-knowing, in its all-power, and its total presence everywhere. Therefore, there is no portion of your anatomy in where life is not in its completeness. There is no space anywhere where life does not exist in its whole. Because it's whole, it doesn't divide itself. If you can realize this, all becomes possible because life is free from all hindrance by your discernment of all that which is false. It's only when there is inward poverty through lack of understanding that we discuss reality to no practical purpose. Thus, we are only discussing reality and not translating reality into your daily living. Think what you are doing now. You're only discussing reality. But are you translating reality into your daily living by discussing it only? If I would philosophize on the wonders of reality, you'd only build up an idea about it. All these talks we have are directed to help your own awareness. For it is only through your own awareness can you realize life, pure being. It is not what it is, but how we can live reality every moment of time. Then we will live in the timeless, the ever-present, in the past or the future, will not disturb us because we will discern it in the present and dissolve it. If the past and the future influence the present, you will never know what the present is. If the past and the future influence the living presence now, I cannot be creative because I'm living in a past that is a memory, the future but an idea of hope. But in the ever-present, I am creative. The only time you will ever be creative is in the ever-present. Jesus was not disturbed before Pilate or Herod. He was fortified by the living reality of which he was the expression. The story of Jesus, before related, is recorded in Matthew 27, Luke 23, John chapters 18 and 19. All spread all over the book. But I have taken the whole of this and have written it into the story, which I'm going to give you another chapter of the story of Jesus again tonight. But as a prelude, I have brought into operation in your own minds discerning the mind of Jesus. Unless you can understand what I have told you, you will not understand what I am going to tell you now. But if you can understand what I have told you this evening, you will see the mind of a master. In the early morning, Jesus was taken by the Jews to the palace court, and Pilate met them there and asked, "What charge do you bring against this man?" As we saw in our last lesson, how he was taken prisoner by the guards. They reported, "If he had not been a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Then Pilate said, take him yourselves and sentence him according to your own law. The Jews said, we have no right to put anyone to death. Now this is a very important point. This was that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, by which he had indicated the kind of death he was to die, as he told his disciples these things. All was there as a means to enlighten men of the great truth of the eternal life. And we will see as we go through here how ignorant the Jews were of this truth that Jesus knew. Pilate went back inside the court and called Jesus, saying, then you are the King of the Jews. Jesus replied, are you saying this of your own accord, or did other people tell you about me? I am a Jew, said Pilate. Your nation and the high priest have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, my realm lies elsewhere. I am not concerned with this existing life of yours and your judgments and your courts and your Jews and your religions and your dogmas and your creeds. It has nothing to do with them. In other words, my realm lies in the infinite God, the Father. So you are a king, said Pilate. You, certainly, said Jesus, I am a king. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world, to bear testimony to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Carnal men cannot see my kingdom. It is the kingdom of God within. God is my witness, and my words and deeds bear witness to the truth. The power of the truth. God alone sees the power of his own truth, his own creation. Everyone that is born into this world is born just the same way. A king. And the kingdom of God is within. They are the king in that kingdom. Jesus was not saying something about himself, but saying something about all people who were born into this world, knowing that the Christ was born in every soul, and that Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, not separated, but one. But the ignorance of mankind has divided men in his creeds and dogmas. And Jesus came to show the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Therefore he did not in any way stumble, nor was he afraid or fearful of death. Truth, said Pilate, what does truth mean? With these words he went out again to the Jews and told them, I cannot find any wrong about him. But it is your custom I should release a prisoner for you at the Passover. It is your will I release you, the King of the Jews. Again they yelled, not him, Barabbas, who was a robber. Barabbas, of course, represents the world that we know today, as it was then. The same world, Barabbas means separation, strife, a robber, a thief. Pilate went into the inner room and sat in silent thought. His wife, Claudia Drukova, came to him and said, "I have had a dream. Beware what you do to this man. He is holy. If you scourge this man, you scourge the Son of God, for I saw it all in a vision. I saw this man walking upon the water of the sea. I heard him speak and calm the angry storm. I saw him fly with the wings of light. I saw the veil before the sun, the day as dark as night, and the earth was shaken like a reed. Pilate, you say, do not bathe your hands in this man's blood." Then she left, and Pilate went. Pilate was caught up in his own laws, in his own world, the laws of the Jews, the laws of the Romans. He was tied hand and foot. He could do nothing else because he was not strong enough. He was not a Christ. He couldn't break the bonds. He was afraid, dismayed, confused. But Jesus, after his crucifixion, appeared to Pilate to show that he still lived. But this comes in another part of the story. Pilate went out to the Jews again and said to them, "I find in him no fault." This was an acknowledgement of his helplessness. The Jews were now more fierce in their sayings against him. He stirred up people, teaching throughout the journey, beginning from Galilee to this place. Jesus interfered with their narrow, bigoted beliefs, their creeds, their dogmas. If your religion is just a belief is not reality. So he was showing what reality was, interfering with their stupid beliefs, caught up in tradition and rot. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was at this time in Jerusalem. So Pilate wanted to wash his hands of him. I want to get rid of this man. So knowing that he was a Galilean, he sent him on to Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have some miracle done by him. Then Herod questioned Jesus, but Jesus did not answer Herod, because he was not in earnest. Herod was not in earnest. He didn't want truth. He wanted to see something, a miracle that would please him. And are not people just the same? They want to see a miracle that would please them. When a miracle doesn't give them a sense of reality. Then Herod questioned Jesus, but Jesus did not answer, because he was not in earnest. The chief priests and scribes stood by and fiercely accused Jesus. Herod was annoyed because Jesus would not answer them. So with his men of war, they set him up not and mocked. Arrayed him in purple robe and sent him back to Pilate. Purple robe, they unconsciously put upon him the highest degree to the highest vibration of color, visible in the physical eye. That day, Pilate and Herod were made friends, but before there were enmity between them. Here was then two men at enmity, but even the scourging of Jesus made them friends. Then Pilate called together chief priests and rulers and said to them, "You have brought this man as inciter to rebellion among the people. I have examined him before you and have found nothing criminal about him for all your accusations against him. No, nor has Herod. This man has done nothing that calls for death, so I shall release him with a whipping." Pilate tried to satisfy the malice of the chief priests by offering to scourge Jesus and release him. And Pilate called in the crowd, as well as the leader, hoping them to get a more favorable audience, for he knew quite well that Jesus was delivered up by them because of their envy of him. We can see Pilate trying his utmost to get rid of this man. He was not concerned really with the life of Jesus. He was concerned more with himself. But Jesus knew clearly and distinctly what he had to go through so that all would know the truth of the everlasting life. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head, crown of thorns representing the mental agony that man goes through before he reaches that stage of Christendom within himself. So they twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. Pilate went forth again and said, "Behold, I bring him forth, that you may know I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate marched up to him and called out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" This indignity did not alter the truth that was his. Neither could it alter the Christ within. My realm is not of this world. When you realize this truth too, you will see that the consciousness is caught up reactions to the things surrounding the physical, then that's the world in which you live. But if your consciousness is aware of a deeper significance, having its roots in the infinite, complete and perfect being, then you will say, "My realm is of a different world. I am not this." When the priests and officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said, "Take him and crucify him yourselves. I find nothing wrong with him." And they answered back, "We have a law, and by our law he is bound to die, because he has made himself out to be God's son." Here is the ignorance of the truth of the people who are steeped in idolatry, in belief, in worship of something external to themselves. But Jesus knew that he was God's son, just as you and I know that we are God's sons and daughters. Living alone, living, because that livingness proves that we are his children, because he himself alone lives. There is no other living being. Now when Pilate heard this, he was still more afraid, and went inside and said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" Jesus made no reply. Pilate said, "Will you not speak to me? Do you know that it is in my power to release you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me unless it was granted to you from above. So you are less guilty than he who betrayed me to you." This made Pilate anxious to release him. But the chief priests and officers again yelled, "If you release him, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who makes himself a king is against Caesar." Again, you see, the ignorance of the truth. Here was the king of the kingdom within. If Caesar was the world, was caught up. Barabbas in separation. Destruction. And it is the same world today as it was 2,000 years ago, but it has become more subtle in its nature, more destructive in its subtleness, more ignorant because of its diabolical philosophies, more subtle because of its psychological instincts, more subtle because of the opposite seem more dominant, more subtle because of the many religions that exist, more subtle because man is ignorant of the truth, where man's intelligence has advanced. His spiritual understanding has stood still. Unless spiritual understanding marches along with the advancement of man's intelligence, then man shall destroy himself. It was this that Jesus came to show, and if they follow in his footsteps, the world will be free today. What do we see? On hearing this, Pilate set him again on the judgment seat in a place called the Mosaic Field. This was on the day of preparation for the Passover about noon. "There is your king," he said to them. Then they yelled, "Off with him! Crucify him! Crucify! Crucify your king," replied Pilate. The high priest retorted, "We have no king but Caesar." Another stupid, ignorant thing to say. When Pilate saw that instead of doing any good, a riot was rising, he took water and washed his hands in the presence of the crowd. "I'm innocent of this good man's blood. It is your affair." To this, all the people replied, "His blood be on us and on our children." These words were the most diabolical words they could ever speak. Brought upon themselves the very thing, the word that was spoken, became a rod for the banks. Not until they come to the truth of the true understanding of the living Christ that dwells in every living soul, and that the things of the world mean nothing, that that which is life alone is of any value. Then we have true values, we will see that we will rise out of those conditions, and we will love our neighbor as ourselves. Only by loving our neighbors as ourselves will peace come to the world. Then he released Barabbas and had Jesus scourged again. This was the second time Jesus was scourged as a prelude to his crucifixion. Then he handed Jesus over to be crucified. The soldiers took him into the common hall and got the regiment around him. They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe, put a crown of thorns on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on his face, made fun of him. Then they took the robe off him and put on his own clothes and took him off to be crucified and cut. We will continue this wonderful story next week. Benediction. O divine brother of mine, lover of all souls, thy victory of life over death, thy victory of love over hatred, thy victory of soul over the flesh, thy victory of wisdom over ignorance, has shown us the way to live. Teach us to pour out thy sweetness when harshness surrounds us. Give us the calmness of thy presence when accused and persecuted without cause. Help us to return love for hate so that we may become thy disciples. O divine brother.